Welcome to Tony's Take Podcast.
Welcome to the Tony's Take Podcast, episode 371 of Entertainment. I'm Tony, and with me we've got Off-Road Andy.
Hello.
We are very rare that we don't have Sean on an entertainment episode. So Andy and I will be doing this one by ourselves this week. Sean is under the weather, but he's with us in spirit as always. So we hope for a nice recovery from Sean, and hopefully you guys will be able to hear his voice next week, and I'm sure he can let you know about his problems with the weather, maybe.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's the weather itself, but
he said allergies, yeah, so I mean.
Okay, maybe. We do have a story that he, I'm sure, has a lot of input on, so we'll probably have to follow up next week, but we got a whole bunch of other stuff as well, so.
Yeah.
You want to start with?
I'll start off with, actually, first thing, Andy, I want to start off with is because I don't see it on here or anything, but did you take a look at the eclipse?
You know, I did not.
I did not either.
It was a big story.
I feel like Sean, if he was on tonight, would have talked about the eclipse a little bit.
I'm sure it would have been very negative.
Oh, I'm sure it would have been too.
Like, I hate everyone who looked at it.
Which, I mean, I kind of agree.
I don't really know it or understand the science. I know that it's like we weren't in the path of it. Like it was like the south or something, and then went through the south up to the northeast. But I don't really understand how that works. We're one Earth. Like, it's not like a different sun there. I don't really, again, I don't know the science of how any of that stuff works. But it would be cool if, like, the eclipse, because I remember the last time they had it, which is not that long ago.
Yeah, it was 2017, I think.
It's like, will everything go to darkness? I'm like, no, it just, the sun is too powerful. It still goes around it. I'm like, well, that's not as interesting. And you have to get glasses. So, like, I remember that from last time. I'm like, this, I don't care.
I didn't care either.
So this time I did decide to go on my my run during the time period it's supposed to happen. Ooh. To see if I can notice anything. And I don't know, maybe it was a little darker.
But, I didn't notice anything at all. Yeah.
There were some people out there with the glasses looking, and I'm like, am I even jealous? Like, I don't know. I know what it looks like. I've seen what it's supposed to look like. So I don't know. Like I'm picturing like Vin Diesel in Pitch Black where... You know, then you actually really don't get any sun, and then the monsters come out or something. But no, it's nothing like that. It's just you see something blocking the sun, and it's a white ring, but it's still light enough to, you know, illuminate the Earth.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wasn't really big on it. Didn't really care about it. But the other thing that I was going to talk about here was I talked about it a couple weeks ago, and this is completely different, but I went and I saw another emo night thing, but this time it wasn't just a DJ playing emo hits. This time it was actually a cover band called Sega Genocide, which if you're in the Orange County area, actually not even just the Orange County area, they're all over.
I've seen them, yeah.
They're a fun band. They mostly do 90s Y2K hits, but occasionally every like couple months or so, they'll throw out an emo night, and they're a lot of fun to watch, especially if you enjoy that music, like myself, the emo music and 90s music. They're also really cool guys. I've talked to them a couple times now because they actually know a friend of the podcast, Tommy.
I saw him at LaCav.
Yeah, they used to play at LaCav, and they're very big fans of him. I actually, when I spoke with them, when I saw them a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh yeah, I got a friend of ours named Tommy who used to work at LaCav. He speaks highly of you guys. And the one guy who's like the main guy of the band, he's like a music teacher, a really nice guy. He was like, looked at me and he's like, dude, he's like, we love Tommy. He's like, please tell him we said hello. So, I mean, I did, carried on the message. Be fun to get him at the local bar that they play at, but might just be too small of a place, a little narrow, but I don't know. They've had crazy bands in there before, so.
So, yeah, I think I've seen them like three times at LaCav, but that's one of them was the infamous guy putting his tongue in my ear story.
So that's one of those. That is, it's kind of.
And then another time that I saw them, with Kevin and Sean. And not Tony.
Yeah.
That's when we went to a beer festival.
Park. I forgot about that.
They played there. And I'm like, oh, hey, I know these guys from you know, the bars around here.
Yeah, they're good. They're fun to watch. They're definitely
it's a name that you don't forget. That's one of the reasons why.
Oh, yeah. And it's like we said, too, it's good music. It's fun music. So, definitely enjoy listening to them and watching them play. So yeah, I've had a had fun the couple times that we've gone and seen them. So yeah, that was pretty much that. I just wanted to briefly talk about that. Nothing, you know, nothing too crazy or anything. But yeah, so what do we got? Some good news here, Andy. Tell us about Matrix 5.
Yeah, so they're making a fifth Matrix movie, which is there's a little irony here in the fact that the fourth Matrix movie came out years later, and it was one of those things where like Warner Brothers wanted to make it, but the people who made the Matrix were like, I don't know if we want to do this, and they're like, well, we're gonna figure out a story, we're gonna have other people tell stories in the Matrix universe if you don't want to make a new movie, so they ended up did make a Matrix 4, which I loved, a very controversial movie. But I thought it was great, just really genius movie that came out during the pandemic and not many people saw it. It was one of those things that went straight to HBO, but is also in theaters. And, you know, I don't know how many people end up even watching it. But, you know, it did have Keanu Reeves back from the dead. It was called Matrix Resurrections because his character was dead at the end of the original Matrix trilogy. Spoilers for a 20-year-old film franchise, but now there's a story. They are going to do a Matrix 5, not with the original creators, but with Drew Goddard, who has made some things I like. He did Cabin in the Woods, which is a movie I really enjoy, a horror parody comedy movie.
No, I've seen Cabin in the Woods, yeah.
It's really good. And he did Bad Times at the El Royale, I think it's a long name, but it's a, you know, kind of crime.
Bad Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, it might be that. So he's made some good stuff. And I guess he had a good idea that Warner Brothers was interested in, and they're just going to go forward. I have no idea if this is his idea involves Keanu Reeves. I would think he wouldn't want to do a movie without the original creators, the Wachowskis, but we'll have to see. But yeah, I think nothing dies forever. And maybe that's a lesson we can learn later in one of these other stories. But the Matrix franchise is still alive, even though the last movie was unsuccessful. Even if I liked it, I have to admit it was unsuccessful from a commercial standpoint. But I don't know. It's cool. You got green letters in that are like Chinese letters that are cool. And then Matrix is cool. People like it. Leather jackets.
Yeah, I never watched too much of the Matrix. I don't even know if I've really ever sat down and watched any of them from start to finish.
Yeah.
I've seen parts of
if you remember, just a couple weeks ago, I went and saw the original movie again in theaters.
Yeah, that's
25th
right.
anniversary, so.
That's right.
Definitely a fan of this franchise, but yeah, we'll have to see. Like, I watch everything, so I will watch this. I mean, you know, in case maybe something changes in my life, I don't know, but at this point in my life, I see almost every movie that comes out, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get into how I went to the movies for the first time in a while at the end of this podcast. But looks like, is that it for the Matrix talk?
Yeah, we got more news.
All right, we got more news. Oh, yeah, we got plenty more news. We got a Springsteen movie.
Yeah, so Deliver Me From Nowhere, and I already got the title here. A Bruce Springsteen movie, not a full biopic, but a supposed to be about him making the album Nebraska, which is, I think, maybe his fifth or sixth album. So it's past. He's already been famous. He's already a big deal. It's not like going to be the, you know, him writing the first songs or anything. That's the idea here. Jeremy Allen White is set to play Springsteen, it seems like good. They did the face comparisons. So he's from The Bear and Shameless.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like okay, but it's like I know him already from other things. And it might be hard to put him into Bruce Springsteen, but, you know, he's a good actor. So I think he'll put in the time to do the job. And it's from director Scott Cooper, who's made a bunch of movies that aren't that interesting to me, but none of them are bad, I don't think, but they're like, none of them have been like, oh, I love this one. So, maybe this is going to be the one. Cause I do love Bruce Springsteen. I do love the Nebraska album. So maybe this is the project that works for me, but they are definitely going to keep making these till the end of time because not been a good year in the box office. But one of the hits has been the Bob Marley movie. Like, people are into this shit.
Yeah, my roommate actually saw the Bob Marley movie on Easter.
Yeah, there's the they're making a Michael Jackson movie. They're keep making these movies over and over and over. They're doing
people
Bob
like,
Dylan.
People like this stuff.
I think, yeah, there's a familiarity to it. Like, hey, I know who this person is. I know what to expect. And you know, I like the music. So this will not be the last time we announce one of these music movies, but I don't know. I mean, they're usually, there's like a floor to them. They're at least
yeah,
good. None of them are like horrible. Even if it's like you look at it and be like, oh, Dewey Cox was making fun of this 20 years ago. They're always fine at the least. I don't know when I'll end up seeing that Bob Marley movie. I did not go to see that in the theaters. But, we'll see what happens with this.
All right. Well, moving on, we've got some weekly Tim Allen updates, which I know Sean, when he's listening, he's gonna love this.
Yeah, I don't know. We're speaking it into existence. We're talking about Tim Allen every week for some reason. And I think this was maybe what I was talking about last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever we were talking about it. But he's got a new sitcom called Shifting Gears. This is made with ABC. Co-starring Kat Dennings, who has been in a couple sitcoms and some Marvel movies and stuff. She's been around, but and the whole idea is he's a mechanic, and then his daughter and her family have to move in with him. Family sitcom sounds like something that's already existed before, but it's the premise is that his wife's dead, which remember what we talked about last week was about the character, the actor who played his wife and Home Improvement, and like her kind of saying like, no, we're never going to do more Home Improvement. And I was like, why don't they just do something new and she can be in it? And I think Tim Allen's saying like, no, just kill off the wife. I don't need a wife. Like just, no, I could just do this by myself. Yeah. But yeah, he's still in demand there in the sitcom world. I'm sure this will be a big hit with certain people. One third of this podcast will probably
be
excited for
this. Not sure if I'll be one of that third. But I do enjoy some of it.
So I don't know when that's going to be next, probably next fall. Shoot a pilot now, see how it goes. But I don't. They don't even make like that many sitcoms anymore.
So yeah,
if they have a plan for this, they'll probably get in the air.
Yeah, well, that'll be interesting. We'll have to, I guess, keep updated on. I'm sure Sean will definitely be keeping us updated on this. But we got a spinoff of Jon Snow.
Sadly, it is dead.
Oh.
The actor Kit Harington has said that the Jon Snow spinoff that they were working on is dead. And he said he was upset that the plans of it were even mentioned because he knew it was
going nowhere.
Yeah, it might not ever happen. So why even get people's hopes up? But I think a lot of people pointed out that what's one of the things you know about Jon Snow, the character?
That he turns into like a wolf.
Yes. But also, do you remember what happened to him? At the end of season 4 or 5?
I don't, actually.
He dies.
Oh.
And they bring him back to life. So, what I said before with The Matrix is nothing ever dies. So, as he says it's dead, I would not be surprised if House of Dragon is a massive hit again. And they're like, fuck it. Do it. I don't care if there's not a story. We're doing it. We need more Game of Thrones. So.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is like, I saw that trailer last night. Was that... House of Dragons coming back in June. And I can't even believe it was already so long ago.
2 years, yeah. It was.
Has it really been 2 years since it was
2022 when that came out.
That is unbelievable to me. I don't know whether to be, I feel like scared is the word.
Yeah, just time keeps accelerating.
It really does. Like, I remember watching that at the place where I still reside with my same roommate that I have. And I remember being like, oh, it's not coming back for another couple of years, but... When I saw it advertised, I was like, oh shit, maybe it was just a year ago. I was like, there's no way it was like summer of 22 when I was watching that, but or whenever it would have been, fall, spring, I don't know when it came out.
I think it was summer, yeah.
That's honestly.
So I think, a little crazy. Less than 2 years between seasons, but yeah, probably 20 months, 22 months.
Yeah, that's honestly it's absurd. I don't even know how else to describe it other than that's just absolutely chaotic. But cool, nonetheless. But, all right, we've got our last news story here. We've actually talked about in the past, Jonathan Majors sentenced, but no jail time?
Yeah, which I think was expected if you were following any of the legal analysts there. He was convicted of a lesser domestic violence charge, assault charge, whatever you want to say it was, a misdemeanor. Because I think it was reckless and not intentional. It was what the conclusion was.
Yeah.
And so he was sentenced today and there's no jail time. It is he does have to do a 52 week domestic violence course, which is like, well, that sucks. I mean, maybe probably that's a lot of people saying like, no, he should be in jail. But that's a big commitment for someone. But, I think the, the second half of the story is, does he work again in any real capacity? Like, is he going to be allowed to learn something from the course and then people will employ him again? I don't know. It's been a strange saga here, but I do think there's just been some misinformation with this where I feel like he was overly criticized. Not that saying like he was right in any of this stuff, but that like people just wanted to be like, we finally got someone who did commit domestic violence. We can get him. And it's like, because there's so many people that have done worse stuff that just go unpunished. And it's just like stuff like, yeah, like Brad Pitt. Like Brad Pitt's still beloved. And it's like Angelina Jolie like said, like, yeah, he like hit me in the face on a plane and we had to be separated. And it's like, that's way worse. But people still love Brad Pitt. I still love Brad Pitt.
Yeah, so me too. Big fan.
Make me a hypocrite. And yeah, that's a modern story. Go back 20 years and people were hitting people all the time. I mean, Chris Brown's another big example of that. Of like, we all saw the pictures and like that guy's like still allowed to be on the Grammys and shit. It's like, so I don't know. We will have to see if he does ever do anything. You have a big project again. But.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe over time I could see them forgiving and forgetting and whatnot. Yeah,
I mean, like, the Roman Polanski is still making movies out in Europe. Like these people can still work. But, like, will he, like, be in a Spielberg movie or something like that? It might take a lot more rehabilitation.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that how it goes in the future. But we've got a, that's it for our news, but we've got a trailer for you guys. So let's get into that, a trailer here, that part three of two episode movies we've already seen, yeah. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Part three of a trilogy of movies with one actor, but playing two characters. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you'd call this trilogy. The X trilogy. The X was the first movie. But this is more of a direct follow-up to X than Pearl was a prequel.
Yeah, which they do that a lot. I mean, you know, in Paranormal Activity, it's like, because I think what happens is they realize they're not sure if it's going to be a success, so it is. So then they're like, all right, let's give a backstory. Because Paranormal Activity, same thing. It was like, that was a success. And then they're like, okay, fuck, let's do a second one. And they were kind of like, okay, the second one will be more involved with like the sister, but like a couple nights leading up or after, or whatever. Like
parallel stories too.
Is a big one. And then the third one is when they went to the backstory when they were little girls. And then, you know, fourth one was supposed to be like modern time. Like she moved in down the street to a rural couple in San Diego.
Yeah. And this franchise was strange because the prequel was written while they were making the first movie. And they made it in New Zealand during COVID, like during the real COVID times, because New Zealand was like a blocked off isolated island, and they're like, well, we got to stay here for like three more months. We can just make a second movie. And they did. And it was good. And now we've got a third one coming out. And this is a more of a direct sequel to X, following up with this character, Maxine. I believe it's now 8 years later, 1985. She's been working in the adult film industry in Los Angeles. And she wants to move over to real movies or horror movies, it looks like. And then the Night Stalker happens. So bringing in some real world stuff and
which how is she's what, like, involved in American that. Horror Story did.
Yeah, and always I mean, fun. The interesting thing about with the Night Stalker for us is that like he was very active here. Yeah. I think I don't want to say, I don't know for sure, but I know multiple victims were in Orange County. I wanted to say maybe even the majority, but I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, because my mom has talked before about she remembers when that was the big thing going on where it was like people were like, you got to lock your windows at night, which is creepy to think about, like to think like you'd just be sleeping and some guy back then was just going through people's windows at night and killing you in your sleep or whatever, however he was doing it. Richard Ramirez, definitely a very famous one. Is he dead, by the way, or is he just still in jail?
I don't know.
I feel like he did die, but then there's a little bit of me. No, he's got to be dead. I feel like they'd show him more.
Yeah.
I think he died like actually pretty quickly. I feel like he died in the 90s. Also, I have no idea where I'm getting that info from. But
was he one of those guys who just murdered in prison like 2 years into it?
Let me see, because I feel like
Jeffrey Dahmer, same thing, yeah.
Yeah, I know Dahmer was murdered in prison. Oh, yeah, that's one of the first things is Richard Ramirez's death. So he died in 2013. Okay, you know what it was? And I think he had just like cancer or something. Now that I think about it, I feel like it was like lymphoma or something. So, yeah, pretty wild. We'll see here right now. He had a B-cell lymphoma, and he also been affected by chronic substance abuse and chronic hepatitis C viral infection.
Yeah, I think he was probably doing a lot of bad things, including drugs and stuff. So probably better that he died.
Yeah, I would say so. Probably good there's no Richard Ramirez out there.
But he lives on through movies and TV shows. He will not be forgotten. I don't know if that's what that means for our culture or not, but you know, I'm willing to, you know, watch good horror movies that take inspiration from him. So
yeah, definitely. But so is that I guess before we get into what we've been watching, this episode of the podcast was brought to you by our good friends at theclipplessleash.com. Go to theclipplessleash.com and plug in promo code
Tony.
That is T-O-N-Y. And I, you know, every time Andy and I do this one, I always kind of get it wrong, but I think it's 65% off.
It's at least 60. Well, we can guarantee it's at least 60.
Yeah. And it's going to be 60 to 65% off at checkout. It's a great dog leash. It's the dog leash you've been looking for. So please go check out clipplessleash.com and get a great dog leash for your dog. I know Sean has one for his dog, and he every time we see him, he always brings it up. So he's really loves that leash. So we're going to get into what we've been watching here. I've got two things. Andy, you've got
looks like four on here.
Looks like four. So do you want to knock out a couple, and then I'll get into a couple? So this week, actually, the things I've been watching, I'm actually like very actually excited to talk about, because it's not just like one of those things where I'm like, oh, I watched a rom-com. Okay, first of all, I would never say that, but I've watched a comedy or movie from, you know, that I've seen before. Like, these were actually movies or films I hadn't seen yet. So
yeah, so a couple HBO shows that I've been watching wrapped up this week, so I'll have to find some new shows to watch. But first off was Tokyo Vice, which finished its second season. And I think the back half of this season was phenomenal. Like, I really got into it at the end there. I enjoyed the season or show the whole way through, but I think it, you know, the story as it's approaching its end, it got really good. And so really it closed out the two season arc there. The creator said, like, well, we have ideas for a third season if anyone wants to do it. I don't think it's going to happen. This was not a huge hit for HBO, but I thought it was very good, and it ended the story, so I think we're all fine if it never happens again. But yeah, I was glad to, you know, spend some time in Tokyo. So it was really cool. Like, it's just, you get to, they film it there. It's not fake.
Oh, that's cool.
It's all mostly Japanese actors and everything. It's like a really cool project that they were able to do here.
Authentic, good Tokyo.
Yeah.
Tokyo, yeah. Vice.
It's a different world out there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And then, yeah, the other thing was Curb Your Enthusiasm, which did wrap up its final season, its final episode of the final season. It is done. And, you know, people had guessed how it was going, where it was going to end up, that this season Larry was in trouble with the law, and it culminates in a court case. And are you familiar with Larry David's previous show, Seinfeld?
I am familiar with Seinfeld.
Yeah, you remember how that show ended?
In jail.
Yeah, so I think we all knew where this was going. And then they bring Jerry back for this episode. And then they finish the show with one last scene in an airplane with kind of all the main regulars, including Richard Lewis, who is no longer with us. But yeah, they had them all there, and it was great. And I got to watch behind the scenes of that. It was their last day shooting, so it's like they one last time for all these people. And what was crazy about that was filmed, they said, in March 2023.
Ooh.
So that was a long time ago, and it took a while for them to get this out. I don't know how long it takes to edit these shows together, but that's what we were wondering with Richard Lewis, you know, dying in, what was that, February, like what that meant for the show. But it had been long filmed, and so that was pretty cool that he was able
that is cool.
You know, do all the work he needed to do for the final season and be there for the final scene. But doesn't mean we have a hole there in HBO. They got to make more comedies. We talked last week. There's a are doing a Tim Robinson thing, but you know, still do more. Find weird, funny people. You know, Nathan Fielder made a show with them a couple years ago. I don't know if he's going to do another season of that, but you know, you got to find stuff like that. And Larry David, I don't know what his future is. He's 76 years old. What do you think he said? Well, in this.
Oh, so you think he's maybe, is he putting it up for good?
I think so. But what will he do? Will he do podcasts? I don't know. I don't think he's gonna. He obviously didn't die the next day because it was a year ago that they finished filming this. But
yeah, that's
it is over after 24 years, I believe. So the first season came out 24 years ago.
That's crazy to think. Like yeah. That's like, you know, that's a lot of our life.
Like they showed, like they brought a kid back from the first season as like an adult. Because they did the Seinfeld thing where people from the previous episodes came in and like said how bad Larry is, and they brought like, oh, this 6-year-old girl from season one, she's like, I've been in therapy ever since. I'm 30 years old, and it's like, that was pretty cool. But,
that is cool. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll knock out. Want me to knock out one or
yeah?
I'll knock out one. So I started watching, I watched 3 episodes of it. I believe there's 6 or so, but I watched the Quiet on Set, the Nickelodeon stuff. It was on Saturday night. I actually had gone golfing with producer Luke. His wife was out of town. And so after we went golfing, we had some dinner and just kicked it at the house. And I was like, hey, cause you know, I was like, there's this Nickelodeon thing. So we threw it on and pretty interesting, pretty intense. I think what's crazy is like, obviously like that, the Schneider guy is the one that, you know, got in a lot of trouble, but I think you come to like to realize that he wasn't even close to the worst of the stuff. And like, even, you know, Drake Bell is the one who got the worst of it from at least what I've seen so far. I think it'd be pretty tough to top what happened to him. And it really is sad because, you know, it dives into the fact that like his dad was his agent originally. And his dad even said like, I have a funny feeling about this acting coach. I don't like him around my son. And then Drake's parents were divorced, and the acting coach was able to manipulate the situation and told Drake like, hey, I think your dad's kind of in the way of stuff. I think you should not have him be your agent or manager anymore and stuff like that. And Drake listened and told his dad, hey, I don't want you running it anymore, which led to the mother being in charge. And one of the things that the dad said to the mother was, whatever you do, do not leave our son alone with that man. And then, you know, what ends up, you know, ended up being sexually abused in the worst ways imaginable. I mean, when you watch the documentary, you can even see that Drake Bell still can't even specifically say what happened, but he basically just tells the lady, imagine the worst thing that can happen. And that's what happened. And then obviously when they show like the police report about like what he was arrested on, and they, you know, that goes into a little more detail. So you understand the extreme of what Drake Bell had to go, what he went through. And it's disgusting. It's sad. And it's, you know, people like that deserve to be beaten to death, I think, you know, or at least spend the rest of their lives in jail. But I think he only got like 16 months or something like that, which is the crazy thing. But pretty gnarly stuff. Then like there's other things, you know, like I know like the big thing they talk about is with like Dan Schneider's, how like these kids were put in weird situations, like, you know, they putting their feet in their mouth and like putting stuff, and like they do constant takes of slime stuff and situations where they were covered in worms and other weird shit. And how he would just kind of like, you know, a lot of people thought he was just this cruel guy that was doing like all these, making them do take after take and weird stuff. And, you know, he definitely was a little sexist, I think. Like that's, you know, like a couple of the writers on there are on this documentary, they talk about it. But, you know, one of the things I say too is like, this was in the 90s, and it's like the 90s was just a different time. Like there were a lot of sexist people in TV shows. Like women just didn't have like a lot of the power and respect that they have now, and even in that time. And also, you know, they talk about like the 90s was also just weird, and like people were weird. So it's like you have all the slime and the ooze and like the kids with their feet. But it's funny because, like, you know, they even talk about how like Ariana Grande was one of the girls on it, and like they had a close relationship, and they obviously couldn't, you know, Ariana Grande didn't have anything to say, didn't speak out anything. They said she still follows him on Instagram. Like, and Drake Bell, they talk about, like, one of the questions they asked him was, after all this happened, like, with you and the acting coach, you know, was anybody there for you? Did anyone give you advice? And he said, you know, he thought that it was a lot of people didn't know, like, who it was that got abused and stuff like that. But he said the one person that actually was by his side for it. A lot of stuff was Dan Schneider. He actually looked out for him and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I just think like he wasn't like, obviously he was, you know, maybe he was a little twisted in the way he ran the show and stuff and whatnot, but he definitely wasn't the worst of what really took place in there. It was a lot of these weird acting coaches. There was a couple guys that definitely, one guy's still in prison, yeah. But,
well, I mean, I think we said it before. It's like, what kind of person wants to be in that industry? Like,
yeah.
Like with Schneider, at least, is like, well, he's a creative. He's the writer of that stuff, creator of all that and all that stuff. But it's like, yeah, that makes sense. But like, if you're like, no, I want to work specifically with kids. It's like, oh, no, you shouldn't. They should find the guy who doesn't want to work with the kids. And then,
yeah, no, I agree. Definitely.
But yeah, that show got a little bit of backlash. I think partially for that whole thing, but also there was a story that they interviewed Mark Summers, the host of Double Dare, and he was like, yeah, I'll do this documentary. I love talking about Nickelodeon. It's a big part of my life. And then they started asking me a couple like generic questions, and they asked him about, what do you think about this guy and the sexual abuse? And he's like, what? Like, why are you? He's like, Double Dare ended in 1993. I never met this guy. Why are you asking about this? And then they asked him again. And he just walked off and was like,
oh, wow.
This is ridiculous. And it's like, that's really bad on them to not do the research on, like, yeah, I guess this guy at a Nickelodeon show in the late 80s, early 90s would not have had anything to do with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, a guy who clearly loves Nickelodeon. So I would say there's a documentary, I think I watched it on Hulu. I don't know if it's still there, called The Orange Years. That is about Nickelodeon.
The slime.
It's about Nickelodeon's founding and up to that era. A much more positive look if you want to think about the good thoughts about Nickelodeon, not
because I was definitely ugliness. I was definitely raised watching Nickelodeon, and that's what I loved to watch Nickelodeon. Like, that's what I did watch. You know, it's it's a bummer that you know, all that stuff was obviously happening.
And obviously, yeah, like with the show, all that, like, Amanda Bynes is,
yeah, Amanda
hasn't
Bynes
recovered since.
Yeah, they even showed Amanda Bynes as like a little girl and stuff, and it's like, I think she just already was a little cuckoo from the beginning. Yeah, like, she definitely had
on there with parents and stuff is
a high strung personality. So I mean, I think she was already a little crazy. But
it's a weird situation that like Kenan Thompson's still on SNL and is in things, but nobody else is anywhere. It's a weird show.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely is. But do you want to do one more and then I'll do my last one and then you do your last one after that?
So I saw two movies this week in theaters. There's the first one is the First Omen. So,
ooh, here we go.
This is a prequel to The Omen from 1976,
ooh,
which is a movie I'd never seen, even though it's like one of the classic horror movies. I just never watched it. It's on Hulu and I did end up watching it afterwards, but I really just want to talk about The First Omen here, which is a new movie in theaters now. And it's crazy that this movie is so similar to Immaculate, which came out 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks before this movie. They're both about young American girls that decide to become nuns in Italy in kind of weird, church. I don't know, not necessarily like they got to learn from, you know, the priests and the old nuns and all this stuff, and weird stuff happens. And are these nuns actually good nuns, or are they actually secretly bad nuns? And I mean, this is a prequel to The Omen. If you know what The Omen's about, you kind of know where this movie is headed, but it is still got some good twists and turns, some good spooks, and just generally well made. The first scene features Charles Dance and Ralph Ineson, both characters on Game of Thrones. So just two British guys speaking to each other. I thought it was a very good scene, and it was nice to see him. Ralph Ineson is like just a giant human being, just really powerful looking, deepest voice in the world. He's great. And then the person who played the main character here, I did not recognize her, but she was actually on Game of Thrones as a kid. She was one of the little blonde kids from, you know, the queen had with the brother.
Oh, yeah.
And so now that was 10 years ago. She's now a like mid-20s adult woman. So That was like, oh, that's why I wouldn't recognize. She also has brown hair in this thing. So, but I thought she was great, doing a good job of having to, you know, scream and everything like that. That comes with a horror movie. But I would say I like this a lot better than Immaculate. I think this was a really good horror movie. One of my favorites of the year. I don't know, I've seen like five horror movies this year, but I think it's a clear number two behind Late Night with the Devil. But definitely watchable and crazy, and dealing with Catholicism, which I thought, like, hey, there's a lot of movies about how the Catholics are secretly doing bad things. And like, I think it's they're picking on them because there's less and less Catholics every day. It's true.
Every day.
Yeah.
With your donation, though. Catholic.
It was my thought. It was like, this stuff can't help with that. It's like, there are people who are like, no, the Catholics have all these secret societies and the Pope is actually a devil or something. It's like, that doesn't help. Whereas, like, you know, regular American Christianity doesn't have a central figure in shadowy organizations. They're just, you know, what, independent churches, but probably doing worse in my opinion. But they don't make too many movies about that. They usually, these movies involve Catholics, but yeah. We like it. We like exorcists and demons and
oh yeah,
all that kind of
and
stuff.
And that actually nuns is a good segue into what I watched late last night. Actually, I watched Late Night with the Devil. I caught a 10 o'clock showing with a friend of mine. And it was a great, it was a good movie. It was definitely, I mean, I wouldn't say, like, I like horror. I wouldn't say it was scary, really. I didn't think it was, like, too scary, but it was definitely, it was a well-done horror movie. And I think what was cool about it is it really does make you feel like you're in the audience watching this late night event. And it's the cool concept where, you know, it's back in the 70s, I believe, right? And this whole thing with whatnot. And I know, so when you talked about this movie was the episode where I had to leave to go fix something, but I did listen back because I wanted to hear what you had to say about it. So I do remember you talking a little bit about it, but it's to the point where it kind of does make you wonder, like, what is actually going on? Is it all acting or is what's happening real? And it's, I think they do a good job with making you kind of know, kind of not know, because then what they do is they do the good job with the offset stuff where they're talking like, what the hell is going on? Like, blah, blah, just died in the hospital, like, yada, 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 you know, whatever. But well done. But there's a, I don't know if you touched on it again, but, or touched on it when you talked about it, but there's definitely a big message that is in this movie that I think producer Luke would sure love.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the whole message about that. A lot of these people to get that number one spot, like whether it's in the music industry, movie in Hollywood, whatever it may be, is there's those big conspiracies with the secret societies and stuff that if you want to.
So that's not a conspiracy. That is a 100% confirmed secret society. So it's not even a secret, I guess.
But which one?
That one that meets in like the Redwoods and stuff.
Yeah.
They have had people infiltrate it and write stories about it.
Yeah. And it's, no, there's definitely a lot of those secrets. A lot of secret societies are real. Like you've definitely, like those are, you know, there's pictures and stuff that it's like, it's real stuff. But the big thing that they'll say is that somebody, you have to sacrifice a loved one for fame and power. And, you know, it goes all the way. You know, there's people, Kanye West with his mother. There's, you know, Michael Jordan and his dad. I mean, like, you know, those are the, you know, popular.
The Beatles with the original Paul McCartney.
Exactly. That too. And it's like, I don't know that one so much as, I think that one more so is that they wanted it to be a cover up that he died.
Yeah.
But,
you do two conspiracies in one.
Oh yeah, exactly. But, that's the big message there is that, so the guy's wife is, you know, spoilers if you haven't watched it,
it's been out. Yeah, first 10 minutes.
Exactly. But like the guy's wife dies of cancer, and you kind of see at the end that like, she's even telling him, well, now you get to be this big star, like, you know, blah, blah. Like, it's kind of like, you know, that he, because then he is taken by some guys in masks and he's drinking like a blood or whatever.
And whether that's, yeah, like you say, is that a fantasy or is that?
Exactly. Because you could tell like maybe he is obsessed with being the next big guy. And that's what they say is a lot of these guys, that's what they have to, you know, that those are the rumors, the conspiracies in Hollywood entertainment is that you've got to sacrifice a loved one or sacrifice something to become powerful and, you know, at the top and whatnot. But, you know,
just like Thanos.
Yeah, I'm just like Thanos. Who's Thanos?
And the bad guy from the Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Is he the one in Thor? What?
Is he the one in Thor?
No, he's just in the Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. But he has to, that's the scene he has to sacrifice his daughter, where she like laughs, where she's like, the one thing you want, you'll never get because you have to sacrifice me. And then he's like, and she's like, oh shit, and just kills her.
Damn.
And it's like, oh.
Thanos, no chill.
She was like, no, you're not going to kill Thanos. Me. And he does.
Yeah, there's a, it actually reminds me of Game of Thrones too, when the dad has his daughter burned at the stake.
Yeah, that is the same thing, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of crazy stuff there, but overall, though, great fun little horror movie. What I like about horror movies too is I love Halloween themed horror movies, and that one was based on Halloween night, so that was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed it. Definitely will be a good one to watch for this October, because it definitely is a Halloween based horror movie, and you get people in the crowd that are dressed in costume that are kind of weird. And I thought there was the one scene that was pretty funny. With he at the very beginning, when he interviews the first guy in the crowd, he had a couple good one-liners where then he said like about like how his wife, how he's divorced or something like that. And they're like, oh, he's like, no way, man. He's like, I got more time to go fishing or something like that. Whatever he said something funny, but overall I liked it. So that was a late night with the devil. I saw it, and that was my first time going in theaters in a while. And I had some buttery popcorn that decided to make a comeback on me at like 3 o'clock in the morning for like, I felt just sick. I felt awful in the middle of the night. I was close to throwing up. I probably should have thrown up. A lot happened, but good times though. Good movie. So yeah, and I think Andy's got one more here.
Yeah, I'll close this out with Monkey Man. It's the other new release this week. This is written, starring, and directed by Dev Patel. So this is a project he's been wanting to get made for a while. It is. I think it's fair to say it is a John Wick type, which. It's not completely like John Wick, but they even reference John Wick in this movie. But it takes place in India, and Dev Patel plays like a lower class person who tries to work himself up and eventually gets revenge on a higher, powerful person. And he is a underground street fighter boxer, so that's why he has some skills, and he's got to fight people and hit people with random things and stuff like John Wick does. And I'd say the first 40 minutes of this movie are really good, kind of showing his plans and how he's working his way up, and it culminates in a big action scene fight, and then I think the movie kind of loses all its momentum and gets into some spiritual stuff, which I think is what they're trying to do with this movie, is talk about stuff in India, the current state of their country, and Indian legends, and it kind of lost me there. I think less because of not knowing Indian culture, but more because it just loses its momentum to have this great action sequence and then just kind of die down and just really slow. I think probably a better version where they can insert another nice action sequence there, but it was still entertaining and a good first effort from Dev Patel. I know this movie did have some problems. It looked like it was filmed a while ago, and it took a long time to get out. Netflix was going to put it out, and then they were able to sell it to Universal, who eventually put it out. But yeah, I thought it was fun. Solid movie. I want to see more things like this. I think you keep making more these types of movies, like fun action movies in different places. But one of the things I thought was interesting, and I did see, it was not filmed in India, because very critical of India.
You are?
This movie.
Oh.
Well, I am as well. But every time I watch anything with India, I'm like, India, say, yes, India seems like a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Of all the countries, because of just the extreme wealth imbalances there, where it's just people living in the streets and then people living in giant buildings and having tons of money. And I know that's everywhere in the world has that, but it seems way worse in India. And they definitely, had the people in power here be extra awful and corrupt. And I was like, I can't believe they made this. They would make this in India. They would allow them to do that. But no, it was made in Indonesia. So just had some Indian actors come in and fill out. And that makes more sense to me. But yeah, I don't think that part of it is as effective as they want it to be. I think that was what they're going for more than the like cool fighting. But that's what I think most people were showing up for this movie for, is the cool fighting. So
yeah,
you got to get a good mix of both, but doesn't completely work, but it is still above average. So that is Monkey Man.
Monkey Man.
Well, another interesting thing about it has the actor Charlton Copley, South African guy, who was also in Curb Your Enthusiasm this year. He was in the first episode and he shows back up in the final one. And I watched that the same day as I watched Monkey Man. It's like, hey, this don't see this guy too often. I mean, he's been in movies, but
see him twice in one.
Yeah, to see him twice in one day was threw me off. He's always fun and interesting. Just that South African accent is a lot of fun. He played the guy running the illegal fighting ring. So,
oh, okay.
Very good. I guess the Vince McMahon of India, if you will.
Well, sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
To see. But all right, I think that's going to wrap us up here on episode 371. This was our entertainment episode of the Tony's Take podcast. I'm Tony, and with me we did have Off-Road Andy.
Yes, thank you.
We did not have Sean this week again due to some illness, but he will be back for sure on our entertainment next week, and hopefully he'll be here for our sports too. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But as always, thank you for listening. Please like, subscribe, tell a friend, and have a good rest of your week. Thank you.